The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. Marilyn Cross Hudson passed away last Thursday. For many years, she served as the historian for the three affiliated tribes. Before that, she spent more than 30 years working for the federal government, including a stint as an administrator for the Bureau of Indian Affairs for the Fort Berthold Agency. Today, we'll remember Marilyn Hudson with a clip from 2012, when Merrill Pepcorn visited her tribal museum and she shared some history.
The three affiliated tribes are the Mandan, the Hidatsa, and the Rikara, and the reason they say the MHA Nation is in order of their arrival on this land where we are today. The Mandan here first, probably the 1400s, maybe as early as the 1200s, then the Hidatsa, and then the Arikara, you know, later. But nonetheless, they've been allied for, you know, a century maybe along the Missouri River, which is the traditional and indigenous home of the three tribes.
How did they become affiliated?
Well, the Mandan and the Hidatsa have always had a close association. They've always been what we call allies, as far back as they became acquainted. So, as you know, on the prairies, they had tribes had enemies and they had allies. And of course, the Mandan and the Hidatsa were allies. Always lived in close proximity to each other. Shared buffalo hunts. Worked together. Shared an agricultural background. The Rikara at that time were farther downstream, down in Nebraska, South Dakota, and in the mid-1800s, late 1800s, when the Sioux began to expand and need more territory, they pushed the Arikara out of some of their original grounds. And so the Arikara moved north and eventually became into the upper Missouri, and the three tribes then just got together for mutual defense against the Sioux. And we've been together ever since the turn of the century, you know, the late 1800s and up through today. In today's present scene, we're one government. We have one constitution. We're known as the three affiliated tribes. And we conduct everything as one people, even though we are still three distinct tribes.
How did you become interested in history?
Well, I became interested in the museum, which, of course, is a history type of museum because it commemorates, you know, the heritage and the history of the three affiliated tribes. After I retired from the Bureau of Indian Affairs in 1992, I began as a volunteer helping out, and I became just totally enchanted, you know, with the history of the three tribes and the volume of materials that's available out there to learn about the three tribes, as well as doing some practical work. I found that there was a lot of interest in the history of our tribe, particularly during the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. And by the way, the Mandan and the Hidatsa, of course, were the tribes with whom the expedition spent that first very cold, what is now North Dakota, winter. So our tribes played a very big role in the celebration or the commemoration of that bicentennial.
What is it that you would like non-Native people to know about the three affiliated tribes that they might not know?
I think one of the things people don't know is they picture all Plains Indians as a homogeneous group, you know, all on horseback chasing buffalo and fighting. But the Mandan, the Hidatsa, and Rikara were agricultural. We stayed in one place. We lived in large villages. We had forms of government. We were self-sufficient to the extent that, you know, we raised enough vegetables and produce to supply other tribes. So I think that's one thing people don't understand about the three affiliated tribes, plus the fact that we're still pretty much basically in the same land base that we were 200 years ago.
Were you one of these kids who sat around at the feet of your parents and grandparents listening to their stories?
Well, not so much. I think what I recall is mostly work, hard work. I mean, with a garden and stuff. I mean, my memories of childhood are that there was always chores to do. It seemed like there's never a moment that you could just do nothing. And that's the legacy, I think, of my generation, is one of extremely hard physical work, taking care of animals, taking care of a garden, taking care of, the younger children. So, and if we were fortunate, we did get some time to hear some stories and so forth.
That's the reality,
yeah.
Not this mythical thing of, sitting around absorbing the history, the culture at the foot of my parents. No, remember the hard work. Now, Marilyn grew up in that Elba Woods area, which was flooded by the Garrison Dam. Mm-hmm. And let's take just a couple of minutes to share some of those memories of that part of the reservation now that's really underwater, your homeland underwater.
Yes, well, the valley, to get into Elba Woods, you had to come either down Four Bears Hill or Good Bear Hill or the Grinnell Hill. So you would come down from the higher land into the, and it was, in fact, a very beautiful valley. It was the Missouri River, made its turn there. That's why it was called Elba Woods. It was heavily wooded on one side, and then buttes on the other side. Very beautiful area, and very conducive to cattle ranching and gardening and farming. So that's where I was born and raised until I was 17, and I left there. I was in the last graduating class from Elba Woods, and so I know very well, the sports teams, the records, academic records. I mean, everybody did well there, the students. There was a high value on education while we were in the Elba Woods area. And we talked a little bit about the Elba Woods Warriors. I was privileged to be able to see a lot of the basketball teams in action, as well as football. But basketball was our sport.
Marilyn Hudson in a 2012 conversation with Merrill Pepcorn.
Main Street airs weekdays at 3 and 7 Central on the Prairie Public Radio Network.